And, ladies and gentlemen, I just learned this a couple of days ago, and we're glad to have him here today. He's now a candidate for the United States Senate seat being vacated by Pat Toomey. George Buchetto joins us. Congratulations on your candidacy, George. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning, and good morning to Eddie. I'm calling you from lovely downtown Lawrence County in Newcastle. And indeed, we did have that debate last night, and it was a great turnout. I mean, the folks in Lawrence County and the Republicans and the entire area, I mean, they were all here. It was quite a crowd, and it was quite a quite an experience. I'm so glad I came.
And I don't mean to discount your participation in it, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this point, but I think it's an important one. It's newsworthy to me that there were certain folks running for Senate that chose not to show up at this venue.
You are so right, Chris. And believe me, that was not lost on the crowd or the organizers of the debate. And who was it that didn't show? The three carpetbaggers, the three folks that want to parachute into Pennsylvania, lie to us and tell us they're from Pennsylvania and they're Pennsylvanians. And then...
Do you care to name them?
Event. Yeah, of course I'll name them. Carla Sands, Dr. Oz, David McCormick. Not one of them were here. Not one of them's from Pennsylvania. Not one of them gives a hoot about Pennsylvania. And last night was Exhibit A. And trust me when I tell you, Chris, it was not lost on the audience.
What's going on there? Sincere, that's an earnest question. Those three that you named, what do you attribute? They all three have one thing in common. They have a great deal of money.
Right.
And you call them carpetbaggers. Those are your words. So what is that about? Why are these three very well-moneyed people in this race? How do you read it?
Well, clearly the race is wide open. When Sean Parnell withdrew from the race, it opened it wide open. And each one of the three of them have advisors that are saying, look, this race is going to be won on the airwaves. We're going to get John Fox. We're going to inundate the TV airwaves with commercials. We're going to be able to paint you as the second coming of Jesus. And don't worry about all the ground game, the grassroots, and that type of thing. And that's what happened. None of them showed up. None of them even gave a video or gave a reason why they didn't show up, other than to just say they can't make it. And I think that's just such a mistake. And if either one or any one of the three of these candidates think that they can buy the election in Pennsylvania, they ought to go to visit Mike Bloomberg. Didn't he just try to buy a presidency? Didn't his presidential run not get past first base? You know, you can only BS the people so much.
George Buchetto is with us. He's running for the United States Senate seat being vacated by Pat Toomey. By the way, you decided to get into this fairly late compared to the rest of the field. Why did you decide to jump in?
Well, I decided to jump in when Sean Parnell had to withdraw. I mean, up until that point, he had President Trump's backing. He does have a distinguished background. He was a military veteran, and I think that it was his race to lose. And of course, that's exactly what he did. He lost it. He got himself jammed up with some personal issues, had to drop out. And when I saw that, Chris, you know, I've been thinking about running for the Senate for years. And I said, this is my opportunity. This is when I can now stand up and count for something and try to contribute back to my community.
And what of the other three that were on stage with you last night? And I don't mean to make this about everyone else running but you. I know you have your own candidacy to focus on, but your conclusion was that the three that you were with last night, in addition to the other three that you ID'd as carpetbaggers, they didn't satisfy you to get the job done personally. You decided you should, you know, if I want something done right, I got to do it myself. Was that your attitude?
Yeah, that really is my attitude, Chris. And look, you know, I know your listeners know this. You know, I grew up in an orphanage. And when the Sisters of Mercy raise you, they instill in you some real core values: hard work, honesty, and respect for others. And you also have to learn how to handle yourself and become your own man. And I've done that, and I believe in those core values. And I'm prepared to put myself on the line and to try to address what's going on in this country from the liberal woke mob and stand up to it. And I think I'm the person that's best suited to do that. Now, the other people that were there last night, they're nice people. They're good folks. And they're sincere. They, you know, they want to try to help too. But, you know, with all due respect, I'm the one that can really stand up and do the best job. And that's why I'm running.
Okay, George, so let's get into something that I heard, I read. I didn't hear the context of it, so I want to be fair and give you, a fair hearing on the answer, because I was sort of just generally, not beating up on you, but I was kind of just generally beating up on the Republican field generally. Apparently the question was asked last night, and I don't mean the field of Senate candidates. I mean Republicans running anywhere and everywhere they're found. I believe right now, personally, as a talk show host, I'm one guy who has a microphone, but I think I speak for a lot of other people when I say, I don't think at this hour there's anything more alarming or concerning to the American people, never mind Pennsylvanians, than being forced to take a medicine they may or may not want to take. I don't think there's anything more significant than that right now, and we're waiting on 9 people in robes to determine whether or not that's going to happen. Did that come up last night? And George, would you agree, if you're running for the United States Senate, that that is of paramount importance, or not? Maybe you don't see it that way.
No, I do see it that way, Chris, and most certainly it did come up, and it was the topic of a lot of debate. Look, we're talking about fundamental freedoms here. We're talking about the fundamental principle of our country, our democracy, which is personal freedoms and personal choice. Our Constitution is built on the principle, Chris, that unless only the government can do something, the government should keep out of it. The government should keep out of our speech and what we do as entertainment. The government should stay out of a lot of things that we don't need the government to tell us or dictate to us what to do. And taking care of ourselves, our own personal health care, is at the top of that list. And God only knows, Chris, how badly this whole COVID pandemic has been handled by the government, particularly the incumbent government with Joe Biden. I mean, they're literally trying to force this down everybody's throat, and people don't want it. And it's totally unnecessary. And by the way, just as a footnote, it's totally ineffective. They haven't stopped anything. If you take a look at some of the jurisdictions, for example, South Dakota or Florida, that type of thing, that have respected personal freedoms, they've fared a heck of a lot better during this whole epidemic than Pennsylvania has, or Chicago has, or some of these other areas where we have these liberal left-wing mayors that are lockstep with Joe Biden trying to force us into what to do.
What context, George, did the conversation, because I didn't hear it, so I don't know the context. I read on Twitter that the question about impeaching Joe Biden came up, and someone reporting on it said that all of you on the stage said, no, you would not vote to impeach Joe Biden if you became senators. I didn't really understand the context, so I wanted to make sure I did before we go forward with that conversation. What did that mean?
I mean, the question was posed because Biden is doing such a bad job and is creating so much danger for this country. If we were in the Senate and articles of impeachment came today, how would you vote? And I was the first one of all the senatorial candidates and all the gubernatorial candidates to respond to that question. And I said, look, the impeachment process is of profound significance in our country and our Constitution. And it was abused to the extreme twice against Donald Trump. This is not the time to just volley back and say, okay, since you did it to Donald Trump, we're now going to do it to Joe Biden. You do not impeach people for sheer incompetence and stupidity. You cannot impeach a president for political dementia. Those are not valid reasons to try to impeach. And if you were to try to use the impeachment mechanism to do that for those reasons, you're really subverting the Constitution. What's our remedy? Our remedy is to take back the House and the Senate in these midterm elections so we can put Joe Biden and his liberal mob crowd in check, and in 2024, elect a man, the man who's going to come back and restore sanity to our government, restore our economy, restore our standing in the world.
You're a legal scholar, George. That's your back. George Baqueta with us. He's running for United States Senate as a Republican to replace Pat Toomey. Baqueta and Lentz is his firm. So being a man with a legal background, how do you read the shot mandate that the Supreme Court is now, I guess, deciding on? They're really dragging their feet on it for some reason. A lot of businesses now are trying to decide whether or not they're going to force their employees by, I think, February 9th now to either have this shot or not as we wait. So there are a lot of businesses sort of in a holding pattern, a lot of people wondering whether or not they're going to stay on their job or not. What's the outcome of this, and do you think it constitutional?
Well, I don't think it's constitutional. I think the Constitution as a whole, as I said, tries to preserve as much individual choice and freedom as is imaginable, while at the same time still having a government to provide basics like roadways and a military defense and that type of thing. When you talk about putting a shot in people's arms, that is so personal. I mean, that's like it's literally the equivalent of telling me what to eat for dinner. That's not how we operate. This is not the way our Constitution was framed. It is not the way we are designed from a constitutional point of view to function. And might I add, you know, this is not the first time pandemics have ever confronted this country. And way back when, Abraham Lincoln, the venerated Abraham Lincoln, was the first one to say the government has no business telling people how to take care of their health. That's a direct quote from Abraham Lincoln, much overlooked. And Chris, I'll send you the quote.
So, hearkening back then to the discussion about impeachment, if you feel that Joe Biden's mandate is a violation of the Constitution, is that an impeachable offense?
I don't think so, because it's something that he's trying to implement, which I believe the Supreme Court will stop him from doing so. Mm-hmm. And it's not a high crime or misdemeanor as set forth in the Constitution. It's incredibly stupid and it's incredibly arrogant, and I don't think it's going to get past first base, but it is not an impeachable offense.
Okay, fair enough. George, what would you like people to know about your candidacy? How can they find you? How can they be helpful? You're really just kind of getting underway here, and you got to crisscross the state. You know, a lot of people know you here in the Southeast. I don't know what it is to run across the Commonwealth, but there are corners of this state that I've certainly never visited, and I can imagine that's daunting. It's a big state to traverse to get people to know who you are in a primary.
Yeah, I'm on the road now. I was in Lawrence County, as you indicated, Chris, last night. I met a heck of a lot of people, good Pennsylvanians, people that care, people that want to see some sanity return. Right now, I'm literally driving to Mercer County. I have a 9 o'clock breakfast with the county leaders there. And for the next few days, I'm crisscrossing out west here, meeting as many people as I can and introducing myself as much as I can. You're right. It's an enormous state. This is my first ever statewide run, per se. And while I'm reasonably well known in southeastern Pennsylvania, I want to get a lot better known in western Pennsylvania and northeastern Pennsylvania. And one of the things I enjoy most, Chris, is being interviewed by you, because you get to it. I just love your show. I love being interviewed by you. I think if I could be on your show five mornings a week, I would.
Well, you'd be the only guy. And look, depending on our booking schedule, Fast Eddie's got an idea now. He's calling it the six o'clock with George, I think he's calling it now, just so he doesn't have to work an extra hour. George, that's kind. No, look, I respect, as I was saying, coming on this show to me has nothing to do with me. It's this audience. And you've always been so kind to the audience. You respect the audience. And I respect anybody that wants to come on the show and talk to the audience. And I'll just say, I won't name names, but there are some that don't seem to have interest in coming on the show and talking to this audience. And I guess this audience can make their decision based on that, what that means to them.
You know, Chris, I listen to you all the time, and I really love your analysis and the way you go at things. And I think so much of what underlies what you stand for and what you believe can be learned about what I learned from the Sisters of Mercy when I was growing up in the orphanage. It's called respect for others. If you have respect for others, you are not going to tell them to put a shot in their arm. You are not going to tell them that they must do this or they must do that. You're going to give them the respect that they have the right to conduct their own lives in a manner that they feel best. And when we give respect to others, we give them opportunities and we give them pathways, and it's up to them. And that's where we should be as a country.
Amen. And the smartest audience in all radio agrees. I'm certain of it. George Baquetto, where do people find you? Can they reach out? Can they volunteer? Can they contribute? Read more
about
you?
Absolutely. Baquetto for Senate. BOCHETTO for Senate.com. And we have a website set up, and I've got all my background there. And Chris, I'm really glad you asked me that question because I probably would have forgotten to mention it.
No, that's okay. That's refreshing, too. Somebody in politics not thinking about how to promote themselves. That's never bad, necessarily. That means you're not a political animal by nature. BocchettoForSenate.com. That's BOCHETTO. BocchettoForSenate.com.
Right.
You're welcome back anytime, George. Good luck out there on the road.
You're the best, Chris. Thank you. Thank you, Fast Eddie.
There you go. George. It's 7:50 now. Telephone number 610-850-0990. 610-850-0990. Open door policy here on the show. All candidates welcome. We've talked to all but I think three.
We haven't spoken with you.
Martin Rosenfeld, I don't know. I'm just not familiar with Mr. Rosenfeld. No. He's certainly welcome. Do you know where he comes from? Which part of the Commonwealth? I don't know.
I do not.
Certainly not down here. I've never, if he's from the Southeast, I don't know him. I've never heard, and I need to read up if he is. But
yeah.
He's certainly welcome. We've talked with Carla Sands. We've talked with Kathy, certainly Kathy Barnett and George. We've talked with Jeff Bartos. Not recently, but we have. So that leaves a couple that we've yet to speak with. Open door policy here as we march toward the primaries, an increasingly crowded field on Philadelphia's AM 990.